Hello, and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And we are joined today by Sarah Perez, who leads a lot of the streaming coverage here at TechCrunch. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Hey, yay. Good to be back.
And for this, the 100th episode of the Original Content Podcast, we are going to be diving into Apple TV+. We tried to do it last week, but they did not send us screeners. And so we just watched it at the same time as everyone else. And I think what we're going to do is talk generally about our impressions of the various shows. I think we've all been skipping around a little bit. And then we'll do a more in-depth review of the morning show.
Let's start with who's seen what, right? Because we're all different, right?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So I've seen all of the morning show. I've seen, well, the first three episodes. Only three episodes of each show are available right now. So I've watched all three of the morning show, all three of...
Well, when you read this, or hear this, there'll be a fourth episode.
Yeah. I can't wait, actually. I'm like, so I've seen all three of C, all three of the morning show, one of For All Mankind, and there's one other that I haven't seen any of, Dickinson. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sit to press play on Dickinson, to be honest, but we can touch on that later. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Cool. I've seen like all of everything.
What about you, Sarah?
Well, I've watched a handful of the Dickinson episodes, which I liked more than I thought I would because I kind of was poised to hate it. I watched all of the morning show that's available so far, which is a lot better than the critics' reviews had me thinking it would be. And I've watched a few of All of Mankind. I have not watched C, but I did watch one of the kids' shows with my daughter. It's called Ghost Rider, and it's pretty cute.
D-Town?
Oh, I've seen so much of the content, so much. I just naturally watched a lot of it. I watched all of the For All Mankind available, the C, all of that, the morning show. I watched a little bit of Dickinson so far. I dipped my toe into Snoopy in Space.
Wow.
But so, yeah, I guess that covers it, actually. So,
like, slow week. Damn, you got a lot of ground covered there, bro.
I'm like...
Did you sleep?
All the other shows that I watch and that, like, me and Tara watched, we're kind of, like, caught up on or over or done. So we were watching a lot of this. It was, like, good timing, at least for me, for them to release.
It was probably purposeful.
Yeah,
from Apple. They were probably like, oh, we've got like a little baby lull where like the only new television right now is like trash reality television.
Or like network TV,
or like This Is Us. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was good enough that I kept wanting to watch more of it basically across the board. So I think that's promising. I know last week I talked a bit about the morning show and we can talk about that later on, but like definitely... my opinion has changed for the better in general for that after watching a few of them. So
me too. Do you, what about you, Anthony? How far along are you in the journey, the Apple TV Plus journey?
So I've watched all the first three episodes of the morning show, and then I've watched one episode of Dickinson, partly because I was just so curious about it and thought it might be a complete train wreck. And I watched the first episode of For All Mankind. I wanted to watch a little bit of C, but I ran out of time. But
who has a favorite? Like, does anybody have like a clear favorite that they're like, on Friday, I cannot wait to watch the next episode of X?
I'm actually looking forward to more morning show, to be honest with you. And I'm surprised by that. But out of all of them, that's the one that I'll probably watch first when it comes out.
Yeah, for me, it's For All Mankind, but that's pretty predictable, and it's like, kind of just like, well, it's a space show. But I mean, I really do think it's well done, even aside from just being a space show. So, but I found C to be like one that I really wanted to just immediately watch the next episode in a way that I was not at all expecting for that show, based on kind of like early reviews and stuff.
Yeah, like I think for me, I didn't watch any of Dickinson, obviously, but like C was the biggest surprise for me because it was the one that I was most prone to like based on the trailers. Like super post-apocalyptic, like sci-fi type stuff is like right up my alley. And I had a feeling that For All Mankind wouldn't be as spacey as I need it to be. Like I want a lot of space in my space TV.
Agreed.
And I think I was, yeah, Sarah, you said that. And I think you were right about that. C for me was like a roller coaster because I expected to love it. And I watched the whole first episode and I have lots of thoughts on this. I don't know if we're going to like want to do that now or we want to wait till we actually do a proper review of C, but.
We could do like your first thoughts. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, your general thoughts on it.
Yeah. Like initial thoughts were that like C for me was early on. It's like a created world and there's like big hits and misses. Right. So like there's all kinds of attention to detail when it comes to like markings on their face, for example, or how they cover up their scent and all of like these things that would be true in a world without vision that like are really nuanced and thoughtful. And then randomly they're also like birds in cages. And I'm like, how did you catch the birds? Like, you know, maybe I just don't have as good of an understanding of what it would be like to be without vision and have like stronger other senses. I can say it's not maybe, I definitely don't, but like that part kind of threw me off. And then also they created this big world where like the name, everything from the names and the terms they use, like I can jump into a sci-fi thing and like kind of figure out the new like lexicon there. But like, I really struggled with C. It's one of those things I think you have to be paying very close attention to, or you'll easily get behind on what's going on. And I did, but then the second and third episode, I was like, C is trash. I don't want to watch it anymore. But then I watched it anyway. And I was like, now I'm like, I cannot wait for the next episode to come out tomorrow. Like they got me. Like it was just like, and I honestly, that's my take on the shows that I watched. The first episode, like Apple's not great at pilots. And then randomly by like halfway through episode two, you're like, oh my God, I need more of this. Like what happens next? You know, like it suddenly shifts. So those are my early thoughts. And I'm excited to watch more of The Morning Show. Like The Morning Show picked itself up and figured itself out a little bit by episode three. And I'm like, okay, what next with that as well?
Right. And so with C, the concept is that it's this, like, is it like in the future where like everyone has lost their sight?
I mean, we don't know exactly what happened, but like a virus, apparently, after the world had become super civilized and also like destroyed itself as we're doing now, a virus hit humanity that took away the power of sight. And it's like many, 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 many generations later. And it's like more tribal living.
It killed like most of the world. And then the people who survived all lost sight. And then that was apparently like genetically just blocked. So nobody else none of the kids could see either.
No one could see. None of the freshies. Yeah. And they like are this tribe and Jason Momoa is like the leader of the tribe. And the thing in episode one, which is not a spoiler, it's in the trailer, but that like these two new babies can suddenly see. And there's like all kinds of like geopolitical stuff around like how they like what they even believe in, like a lot of because they couldn't read, like a lot of the knowledge from the old world like hasn't really been passed down. So like there's just a lot of things that they don't know, and they see sight as like it's like kind of a religious society where they see sight as like sinful and like a power that corrupted the world. And so there's like all kinds of danger involved in these children being able to see as well.
So it's not just Bird Box without the demons is what you're saying?
No, it's not. No. It's not. It's actually super complicated, which I think is like a pro and a con. Like, I think it works for people who are into that kind of TV. Like, I mean, Sarah, you're a big BSG fan. Like, you go into BSG and there's all kinds of terminology that you're like, wait, what? And then you're like, by episode three, you're like, ah, I'm here with you guys now, you know?
Yeah. Even and people's like, names, which they just throw out there, and then for a while you're like, what?
Nonsense. I had to turn on the subtitles just to figure out what the fuck Jerla Morel was. Jerla, I'll spell it for you. J-E-R-L-A-M-O-R-E-L. Jerla Morel is like a name that's said maybe 50 times per episode. And you're like, what are they saying? Like, what is that name? Jerla Morel, Jerla Morel. And you're like, what? I don't know what that means.
Even Baba Voss. They're like,
Baba Voss. Yeah, exactly. Like, and then there's...
What are you just... what are you saying?
Watching with subtitles is the best, though. It's the best. I love watching with subtitles. You can just understand so much more.
You really can, but then also you like find yourself just like reading the whole thing.
Yeah, that feels natural.
And sometimes getting a little bit ahead of what's actually happening on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the joke comes in the subtitle and then they hit the punchline and you're like, yeah. But yeah, I found myself like going through that roller coaster because I was like, I will love C. And then I watched the first episode and was like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, I don't think I like this very much at all. And then by episode two, I was like, okay, show me more. So it was a real roller coaster for me.
Yeah, it does a really good job of the world building and like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty immersive with that. And then it felt like I just kind of assumed it was based on a book and it's not based on a book, which I think is also to its credit or not that I can find. Is it based on a book?
I don't think so.
No. I don't think so.
No. So no, it's not. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia. But like, yeah, so they really build it out. And there are things like Jordan was talking about where you're like, all right, like this seems, if I'm thinking logically the way you've tried to present the logic, like at it and some points you're like, hey, look, this guy doesn't know this person is right there next to them. At other points you're like, oh, we've built like a lot of advanced kind of engineering and like early detection systems and like huge ways we can coordinate very closely, and also hypersenses, and I can hear down the valley and whatever else, right? And you're like, wait, some of these don't square with each other, some of these things. But yeah, I think if you can leave those aside and just kind of do the like, well, whatever, it's a sci-fi show, it's fun.
Like I think they did like an A- job of that, honestly. Like it's not horrible to where you're this is stupid, but you're like there, but that's what I'm saying. Like you take on such a huge task of saying like, here's a world of people, a society built without sight. Like you're not going to get it 100% right. Like there's going to be a Starbucks cup in the shot, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like it's just going to happen. So
no Starbucks cups that I saw though.
Yeah, no. That was like a more egregious example, obviously. But. Yeah.
So I would say that I agree with Daryl that of the ones I've seen, For All Mankind was my favorite. And the only reason I've only seen one episode is because I started with the morning show, because I assumed that would be the one that we'd kind of do the most extended discussion on. So I was like, I got to get through all of that. And so I came to For All Mankind a little bit later, but I thought it was, I mean, in some ways it was also because I felt like I kind of, like with the morning show and with Dickinson, I was like, I'm curious what they're going to do with it, because I feel like it could go in a number of different directions. With For All Mankind, I was like, oh, okay, it's Ron Moore, it's alternate history, space program. I know what this is going to be. And I would say that it didn't necessarily defy my expectations, but it like delivered on it very well.
Yeah, I will say that, like, because I mentioned that too, right? Like it felt like kind of like it was his project, but it also felt like a slightly more polished version of that. Like it was like maybe a credit to the actors or whoever else is involved, but it just felt like a little bit better than most of his shows normally are. Not to say that I don't like the other shows. I do like them. But there's a level of quality that this has that those don't. And maybe it's just money. Maybe it's just that there was more money.
Wait, what are his other shows? Who is this person? I'm lost.
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, nothing's better than Battlestar Galactica.
No, right?
No, no.
I think you're just being moved by the 4K. I don't know.
It's very high quality 4K. And Outlander, yeah.
I thought For All Mankind started off a little slow, honestly. It took a little while to kind of build up to its premise of, hey, what if women were in the space flight program early on, which is the core of, I think, where the show's going. But it just, I was almost bored in the first episode.
Yeah, like, me too. Yeah. And that's why I'm not on to number two yet, because I was bored. So, like,
I'm also curious to see if that becomes the premise, because I'm wondering, like, there was the episode, I think it was three, was like all about that. But now I'm wondering if that doesn't just become a plot point and then they move on to more of a freak of the week kind of thing, because that's what he does in basically in
Battlestar Galactica. That's what he does in BSG. Yeah.
Right. So the initial concept is that the Soviets win the space race because that Apollo 11 happens when it was scheduled to happen, but they were actually more advanced, and so they get there like a month early, and so this throws everything into disarray, and so all the Americans are basically trying to figure out how to play catch up, and so it leads to a number of different changes and ramifications. It seems like one of the big things, again, I've only seen the first episode, but even beyond the women, you know, being involved in the space program, it's this sense of where after Apollo, the American space program kind of died out, and we haven't, you know, we've never been to the moon in our lifetimes. And, you know, that just now we're trying to like reboot everything. I get the sense that it's basically going to say that what if the space program just kept going, right? And there's this whole speech in the first episode of, we're going to go to Mars, we're going to go, you know, to Saturn, we're going to go to all these places. And I think that's where the show is going.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, some of the stuff they do, I can't, this one's one where I would actually like to talk about spoilers, because some of the stuff they do around how that, the premise that Sarah mentioned, which does seem like it'll be central to the plot, even if it's, I don't know if it'll be the focus, but it's going to be a defining element of the thing. Again, I do kind of feel like they're going to go into like a new challenge every week for towards the ultimate goal kind of model, but like, we'll see. We'll find out very soon. But like, yeah, like the way they get at that, though, the way they get at how women get into the astronaut program is so good, because it's not the way that I was expecting them to do it. And I don't know. I don't want to say anymore because I don't want to ruin it. But I love what I love about this show. And I've seen a lot of response to this show because I follow, like, I guess, the spacey crowd on Twitter or whatever, that has kind of said like, this show is morally incorrect. Like, you can't have this show because it's wrong to suppose that Americans didn't get to the moon first. I've seen that kind of indignant response a few times.
I mean,
and it's a little bit like, that's fucking wrong, crazy.
But, you know, it's art. But I don't really like that premise personally, because I felt like watching the show was really depressing. There's moments where like the crowd at the bar is watching like the Soviets like put the man on the moon first, and just sort of the depression of all that. And I'm like, I'm just a person who turns to TV for more of escapism from reality for the most part, and that was just sort of like a low blow at this point in time.
I guess that's a uniquely American feeling, because I feel no such feelings. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a cool, that could happen, why not? And then like, also it's fictional, so but I'm not married at all. There's no personal involvement, right? Like, obviously it's better the Americans did it than the Soviets, because the American ideals are better than the Soviet ideals. And that, again, subjective, I guess, but like, by all accounts, probably the right call. But I have no patriotic allegiance to this. So I don't know. I didn't experience any of those feelings. And to me, there's the sadness was mitigated by the fact that it's like definitely clearly an alternate history, right? So it's a little bit like, well, that isn't the way it went, right? And historically, we have that to at least be optimistic about.
I had a little bit of that same concern of like, oh, is this just going to be a giant downer, especially at the beginning? And there is, I mean, it opens with this scene of everyone watching the moon landing, and you realize that it's the Soviets, and everyone who we see is incredibly depressed and angry about it. But very quickly, it seems like it moves beyond that to, okay, what do we do now? And it gets, you know, much more character driven and, you know, much more suspenseful as that first episode goes on.
Yeah. And they do other things about even like other conflicted, this is again, more spoilers, but like,
we'll do a full review of For All Mankind at some point.
Yeah. Stop spoiling it, because like,
I didn't spoil anything.
So like, just chill out, bro.
Just good mystery. Good. Watch it. Good, good, good.
It's no Battlestar Galactica.
No, I know. C is closer to Battlestar Galactica, weirdly.
It is, definitely, yeah.
Wait, and then what did we think of Dickinson?
I did not watch Dickinson. I have no comment.
Dickinson is fun. I mean, I kind of hated the idea of it. Like, I don't like my historical dramas, like, all modernized. But yeah. I guess it's sort of like that movie Romeo and Juliet where, you know, it's like cool soundtrack and, you know, sort of like a modern take on the classic. but with this, it kind of works if you go into it knowing what, you know, that it's just going to be this sort of silly teenager kind of romp, you know, where they're going to say things like, that's so pimp, which obviously I don't think they would have said back in
time. They wouldn't have said it. I think we can say with certainty that that wasn't something they were saying. 100%.
But it's, you know, as sort of just, if you can just get away from like, this is not going to be historically accurate and it's going to piss you off if you care about that sort of thing. It's kind of fun in the way that like some of the CW shows are fun, like Riverdale or things like that. It's kind of in that genre to me of, like, I feel too old to be watching it, basically, is what I'm saying. But it's easy watching and it's funny and, you know, it was fine, I guess, but I don't think I'm the right target demographic for it.
I don't think it's good.
Yeah, it's weird blend. I don't know that it's hard for me to say that too. Like, is it good or not good? Because it just strikes me as very bizarre. It's to me, it feels this. I don't know. They probably didn't base it on this, but it feels a lot like Another Period, is like a Comedy Central show. Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm, like the Jenny Connor was involved in it too, but like it's that show is all set in, I guess, contemporary time with this, I don't know, the turn of the century, like the beginning of the 20th century, and all of the like the title credits and all of the like scene switches are set to rap effectively, and everybody talks in kind of like modern timey language, but it's pure comedy, right? Like it's pure kind of like slapstick goofy comedy. It's a reality show spoof, but to me this feels like they just saw that and then said like, but what if we did a version of it that was a bit more serious and that centered around Emily Dickinson? So that sapped a bit of the originality for me. I'm sure they probably didn't even see it. It's probably like a totally independent concept that they arrived at, and it's not without precedent too, like Sarah was talking about with Romeo and Juliet and some other stuff, but like, but yeah, it didn't feel that light to me either. There's parts where it feels really light. There's part where it feels really dark and oppressive, and like the treatment almost doesn't do that justice, but maybe it's making that more accessible to an audience that otherwise wouldn't really get that or be able to access that. So I don't know. Probably not the target audience, but I watched a couple episodes and they're short and I didn't hate it, and I probably will watch more just to see where it's going. But that's another thing about it. I really couldn't see where it was going. I was like, what is the end result of this? And sometimes it feels almost like a sitcom, and sometimes it feels like, I don't know, the more serious moments of Gilmore Girls or something. I don't know. It's hard to read for me.
Yeah, it tackles some touchy subjects, you know, like how women weren't allowed to publish or attend college and things like that. But it presents, you know, Emily as this very rebellious, you know, character. She's throwing house parties the minute her parents go out of town. She's doing opium. She's sneaking into college. And I don't, you know, it's just, those are kind of things that like, I don't know if they ever really happened or not, you know, and I don't know what kind of story they're really trying to tell with it, because it's not, you know, the Emily Dickinson that a lot of people think of. They think of this reclusive spinster, you know, who died, I think, living in her parents' house, right? Who had never married. And they're telling it in a whole different way that may or may not be true. So it's, I'm just not sure what to think of it.
And I mean, overall, now that, so we've all kind of sampled everything, and again, we'll talk more about the morning show in a second. But I mean, for me personally, I remember in our, without sort of calling out anyone specifically, in the, you know, TechCrunch Slack, there was, I think, a fair amount of skepticism after seeing some of these trailers and everything, and this sense that Apple TV Plus wasn't going to be that good. And now that I've seen the shows, I think that was wrong. I think, like, they're actually all pretty solid. I mean, even Dickinson, which is like, I can't decide if it's good or bad, is interesting. It's really different.
Oh, Snoopy in Space, good too. Yeah. Based on 5 minutes.
The trailers were just bad. That was the problem. They were bad trailers.
Yeah, they were really bad trailers, yeah. In retrospect. Like, that's rare to see something like so poorly done. I think For All Mankind one was like the most accurate reflection of what the show actually turned out to be. Which isn't to say it was necessarily a great trailer either, but like, most of them were like wildly misleading, I think. Like, what? The morning show teaser one was so weird and was just so like, did not do that show justice at all.
Mm-mm. That one was the worst, I think. The first morning show trailer, because I think they had another.
Right. That first one, which is basically. Right. The first one doesn't even show any of the actors. It just sort of like is slowly panning through the newsroom, and you hear the voices of everyone giving these very kind of self-important speeches about the importance of news and the show they're doing. And it really just felt like I was watching a flashback to the newsroom.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which was not like the greatest of shows. So that was not something people wanted to be reminded of, I don't think.
No, I was really worried I was going to get like a Sorkin, like speech fest or whatever, where they all.
Yeah. And there are moments of that in the dialogue. Let's not, you know, it's just, it's not quite as, I don't know. Sorkin-esque, I guess.
Right. So let's talk about it. Let's get into our review of the morning show. And we decided beforehand that we are not going to spoil anything because it's sort of, you know, mid story anyway. So like, well, we may or may not do a more in-depth review with spoilers at some point, but for now you can listen safely. And so, just to set it up, the show, this is the show that's kind of gotten the most attention of all the TV Plus shows, partly just because of the star power involved. It's Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell. And then basically a lot of the cast is, I mean, they're not that level of famous, but it's people that you've seen, like Mark Duplass and a bunch of other, you know, familiar character actors. So it's just like really a ton of famous people in the show. And it's about a morning TV show where the Steve Carell character, at the very beginning, it comes out that there have been these sexual misconduct complaints about him. And so he's fired from the show. And Jennifer Aniston, who's his longtime co-host, and everyone else basically is scrambling to figure out what happens to the show next. And Reese Witherspoon plays a reporter, like this sort of local TV reporter who has a sort of this confrontation that's captured at a coal mine that's captured on Twitter and everywhere that kind of goes viral, and it kind of brings her into the orbit of the morning show. We probably shouldn't say too much more else about that, but she ends up becoming involved in the plot and they become kind of interested in her. And I think that's pretty much the setup. I mean, what did we think of it overall?
I liked it. I mean, I had read some of the reviews, which some of them were kind of brutal. And I actually found myself really engaged with this show from the very first episode. I mean, I do really like the actors in the show on an individual basis, so maybe that's part of it. And I know it's sort of loosely based on some of the Me Too scandals and that rocked the morning TV world, but the fact that they weren't trying to do a documentary about it and it's really just fiction helped me get more into it, because I wasn't like, that didn't really happen, you know, or whatever. And I think there was a lot of concern that the show sort of doesn't take a strong stance on the issue of sexual harassment and impropriety in the workplace. It sort of lets you see more sides of that and how that really plays out. And I just kind of thought it was, I actually found that kind of interesting. I mean, to see Jennifer Aniston's character taking a moment to like mourn the loss of her co-host privately because she couldn't be sad about it publicly. You know, even this guy was obviously a scummy guy, you know, who did terrible things. There was that aspect of like she was experiencing a loss. And that's just something that kind of gets overlooked in, you know, how does this really play out in the long run, you know, when somebody is ousted like that, you know? So I thought that was interesting.
So I have some early impressions. One is that like it took me longer. The first episode, it felt like I had already seen from the trailer, to be honest. Like it was... I was like, okay, you know, like I'll get to know these characters a little bit better, but that's it. I definitely came for like a look inside the newsroom because I think I tend to be drawn to stuff like that, like media, news stories, Succession, and even like Newsroom I really enjoyed. So I thought it was going to be similar to that. And but I definitely stayed for Reese Witherspoon's Southern accent for sure. Like I just, whenever she puts on a Southern accent, I'm there for it. I don't know what it is, but like, I'm like, oh my God, I love her character. I think like the cons for me are that it's a little bit on the nose with some of the Me Too stuff. Like there's a speech that Jennifer Aniston gives. There's also a big monologue from Reese Witherspoon. All of it is in episode one. And it's all very like, I don't know. It's just like feels slightly unbelievable, like very like powerful woman moment insert here, you know, and it just like feels kind of generic there. But I appreciated the fact that like the Me Too stuff is slightly more nuanced, and I have to like be careful how and what I say here. But like there's a big difference. There's a systemic issue that is being corrected as we speak. And sometimes it can feel a little one size fits all. And to me, and I think to most Americans and most people, there's a big difference between what like Harvey Weinstein did or what Louis C.K. is alleged to have done and a guy that has an affair with people he works with. Like that, there is a difference to me there. I'm not saying like one's right and one's wrong, but there are shades of gray there. Yeah. And
right.
I thought it was interesting that they're looking into that, like that they're exploring that and the feelings of the people who, you know, Steve Carell's character feels wrongfully punished. Like he feels like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And you could argue one way or another on that, but there's a really great, I don't know, are we not doing spoilers? Should I not talk about this?
Yeah, if you can try to talk about it in general terms without spoiling.
I guess the point is that they go there with the differences between that. And like Sarah said, like the feelings that Jennifer Aniston's character has, that she doesn't feel like she can really express how she feels. They go like behind like a layer deeper than I think some other people or other shows and movies and stuff have. And I appreciate that. I think it's good. It's a good step.
Well, I also think the way the show has approached it is that almost everyone else is basically just dealing with the fallout. So there's not a lot of discussion about like, do we think this was right or wrong? For a lot of them, it's more just like, holy shit, this bomb has dropped. What do we do now? And so the one voice that you hear kind of from the beginning on that is the Steve Carell character who said, you know, maybe I screwed around and, you know, that wasn't good, but fundamentally this is different. And he's treated relatively sympathetically by the show. But then this interesting thing happens as the three episodes move along where you start to get a sense of that, you know, that the version that we're getting from him is not necessarily correct. And that the, you know, what has happened may be a lot more serious than that. And I think we're going to get a lot more of that probably in the next episode, the fourth episode, because, you know, we're starting to hear from the people who actually accused him. So I think that's part of the issue is that because people heard from Steve Carell first and they sort of took that as, again, not real Steve Carell character, they took that at face value And I think that it's understandable why they did, but I don't necessarily think that's where this show is going to land. But it's great that it is sort of exploring that. And this feeling of regardless of where, what kind of comes out about what he did, the fact that everyone feels conflicted about it, that they're angry that it happened, but they also feel like we have to think, like, what are the opportunities and the challenges created by this? But also, this was a person I worked with for a very long time, and I feel this sense of loss that they're gone. And I think all of those things are interesting aspects of it to explore.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, based on what Sarah was saying earlier, no, it's not a documentary, but they definitely pull from very like specific real world details in some of these situations.
Oh,
right. Yeah. That's kind of exactly what I was thinking about.
I know it, man.
Yeah, and we don't know the other side because they haven't really presented the accusers yet. So we don't know the full details. We're just seeing how it kind of, so far, we're only seeing how it impacted him and how it impacted his coworkers and not necessarily, you know, the people who had the affairs or whatever they were with him. And whether there was even like assault involved, you know, sexual assault. Because he says they're consensual.
And we begin the show like after this news has broke, or I guess isn't breaking, but, you know, as it's breaking. So like this, all of the quote, like crimes or like misdeeds happened before we were there. So we really don't know.
Yeah. I think what's good about his portrayal and whatever is just that he's a human being experiencing this, which is like not the perspective you normally get. So like, regardless of the outcome of wrong, right. Like probably some degree of wrong eventually. I'm just predicting ahead. Right. Like, I don't think that the show is going to go in a direction where he gets vindicated in any way. And I think that's probably not the expectation anybody would have from just watching the trailers or whatever. But like, I think what they've done correctly is like, portray his perspective, not that it's sympathetic or anything, just that it's like, oh right, it's a human being. Because like what you get from most media is like a cartoonish villain, right? It's like, not like, because you wouldn't want to see the person as a human, and you don't necessarily want to do it, but like from a storytelling perspective, it's like, oh yeah, this is like how a human would experience this, because humans are not, you know, flat one note cartoon villains or whatever, right? So it's like, again, you can still hate him and you can still eventually end up on the side of like, this guy is a bad guy, but it's like, oh right, like this is how you would react in this situation, this is how it would get messy in a real human way, and not in a kind of neat clear heroes and villains storytelling kind of way. Right.
What do we think of Jennifer Aniston and her character?
She's not super likable. I mean, and
no,
it's weird to see Rachel, you know, in this role where you're not even really on her side necessarily. She seems cold. Maybe she's been checked out for a long time is the implication. She hasn't really been focused, and they were going to, is this a spoiler? Like maybe her job was in jeopardy, was hinted at. I think that's early on. So,
yeah, that comes right away.
Yeah. So she also seems like she may have been a little complicit in what was going on there, because there is a part where it alludes to the fact that she may have had some knowledge about his behavior and maybe even was closer to the situation than, you know, you may have realized at first. And she just doesn't come across as a very, like, as somebody you want to root for. You almost wonder if it's her time to be out and let somebody else like Reese Witherspoon take over, you know? So I think it's a weird place to see her, but I think she's doing great. I mean, I love her.
Yeah. And she definitely has moments where like she's very sympathetic and where you can see like, because she has there's parts of it where she's portrayed as exactly as you would expect somebody in those kinds of positions to be, like where they've been doing something so long and they've achieved a certain level of profile for so long that they are insensitive or uncaring about people around them who are not in that position, right? Like that's pretty much exactly how celebrity and fame and whatever works almost all the time, right? People are familiar with that. So she does display that, but then there are moments where she seems to display an awareness of that as well, and like kind of like the show does a good job of making you sympathetic about like what are the conditions that put this person in this position, right? And like that weren't necessarily their choice or whatever. So I think they do a good rounded job of portraying her, and I agree on balance. It's like hard to really kind of like find her likable, but on the other side, it's like it's not like she's again like flat or like cartoonishly villainous or anything like that.
I had a similar response. I mean, yeah, that it's interesting like how kind of tough and brittle she can be and kind of opportunistic. And I mean, I guess especially at the beginning, because it's all about her sort of angling for power at this show and, you know, kind of being mean to the Reese Witherspoon character when she enters the story. But I do find her very compelling. And there's like a couple of big dramatic moments that she gets that are pretty satisfying, and that by the end you do start to see a little bit more of her, kind of not just her vulnerable side, which I think you see from the beginning, but kind of a little bit more warmth, and so she's definitely growing on me as a character.
She's growing on me too. She starts so like frazzled almost that it's hard to know like who the real, like it almost feels like the show starts like 5 years after the real, what's her name? Alex has been shown to us, you know, like, and so
right.
It's kind of hard to get a feel for who she actually is and like what she represents. She obviously loves her job and power, but there's part of her, I think, that takes it really seriously. And then another part that obviously knows the politics. It's kind of just hard to suss out who that person is. But I think in particular, her one-on-one scenes with Reese Witherspoon, are like the closest you get to who she really is. And that person, I think, is likable, you know?
I was also just really happy to see, I think his name is Jack Davenport, playing her ex, I think either ex-husband or husband who's at least not living with her. And he is an actor who just brings this like incredible kind of sadness and dignity to whatever he does. I thought he was like one of the best things about the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And so I was just like, I was like super into seeing him as the sort of sad ex-husband.
Are they not together? I missed that somehow. They live in different houses.
I couldn't tell. I thought they were maybe divorced or separated or something.
Because I think there's some dialogue about how they still have to pretend that they're together. So publicly, they're still together, but they're not actually anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't quite follow that storyline. I missed that. But yeah, she does seem, and this is part of like maybe her job has, you know, she couldn't really be a normal person because of her working hours. And that ultimately led to the failure of her marriage and sort of this cold isolation. And she's very cynical, you know, her first thought about that Reese video that went viral, which is how Reese Witherspoon's character comes on the show to begin with, was that it was just staged and fake, you know. And she, you know, she kind of lets her have it. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. I love both of those actresses, and I just don't know how they're going to really play off each other. They don't seem to have like chemistry. They're like, they might sort of hate each other. So it's going to be weird if they're both on the show together. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, that brings up Reese Witherspoon's performance. I think she's fantastic in this. This was like a real reminder to me that like she's a great actress, because I haven't seen what do you call it that much, the thing that everybody watches.
Big Little Lies.
I don't watch. Jordan, you know what I'm talking about. Big Little Lies. Yeah. So I haven't seen any of that.
So it's been like a long time
since I've really seen her in anything, and this is like,
yo.
I saw like a couple.
I haven't seen any of it either.
Because Tara was watching them. But they were from season two, too. So it was a little bit like,
I should watch the first season.
I mean, you do have to watch all of it. But like, yo, come on. It's Big Little Lies. I don't expect you guys to follow all the same female-led TV shows that I do all the time, but you got to watch Big Little Lies. I'm going to go ahead and put it on the must-watch list.
Right. Well, you can try to force us to do it, but we'll just do an episode about it at some point.
Sounds easy enough. I thought we did. How did we not? Might have been... like while Daryl was gone, and
yeah, got lost in the shuffle of like Game of Thrones.
We'll get there.
Well, I mean, I think the interesting thing about the Reese Witherspoon character is, in some ways, she's kind of who you would expect Reese Witherspoon to play. That she's sort of this, you know, spunky nobody who's, you know, turns out to be ready for her big break. But they add some interesting details, some of which doesn't really come across until later episodes, which is why I think again. The show in general is kind of becomes more interesting as it goes along. But one is the fact that, you know, she's not the age that she was when she made Legally Blonde or whatever. She's now in her early 40s. And so her character is 40. And they talk about the fact that, you know, she's never, you know, she's been around for a while and never quite got her big break. And then there's also this aspect of, it felt like at first they were being kind of vague about the character's politics. And then at a certain point, it becomes clear that she works for this network of local TV stations. It's very conservative. And like everyone at the morning show is kind of like, what? Like, oh, my God, is she like this crazy conservative person? And then they're like, no, she's libertarian. But I like there's this sort of specificity of who she was. And it wasn't just, you know, any Reese Witherspoon character that you could have like plucked out of something she made 15 years ago.
Yeah, definitely a lot of nuance with that character. I think the writing for me is just like one step too far sometimes. And that's clearest in the Reese Witherspoon character because she's the one who's sitting there making like big points, you know, like having these monologues or big point speeches that are very like genuine and real. And I always feel like they just went like one step too far into the obvious, you know, or like one where it's just like a little too much to be real. I don't know. Did you guys feel that way?
Yeah. Even her viral video where she snapped, you know, it did feel a little overwritten. Like, I don't think that she would have been that eloquent if she was really like having a mental breakdown there. And I don't know.
Yeah, and that part showed because they repeated it so often, and it was a little bit like, well, "Are you proud of this?"
Yeah, like, it became this was kind clear of by like the second play where you're like, "Okay, you guys went. This would not happen. Like, if you just turn the volume down by one, it could have really happened and been this like thing, but it didn't." And it's the same thing. Like, there's a scene where Jennifer Aniston is giving a speech, not giving a speech, but like a monologue to a small group of people. And that also felt like just slightly too much as well. Like just a little too much to be realistic.
Yeah, I will say that I was more willing to accept the Jennifer Aniston thing because I think it's in the context of a negotiation. I think that's what you're thinking of, which it made it seem more like because it with the Jennifer Aniston character, you see a little bit more of the wheels turning and that she's often performing even if she's not on camera. And so in that moment I sort of saw it as a performance she was you know giving to try to get what she wanted. And so I was more willing to accept the fact that it was this sort of very passionate, eloquent speech.
Yeah. I forgave Jennifer Aniston's more than Reese Witherspoon's, but I think it's generally going to hold true throughout. I think we'll see that where it's like just a little too on the nose.
Yeah, even like another I really like Billy Crudup in this too, actually. That's like another reason that but he does a bit of it too, right? They all do a bit of like, and here's my perspective, which is representative of a certain perspective, kind of like stereotypically out there in the market. And his is, I guess, the Murdoch almost angle. Like he's the news as entertainment type person, like circuses for the masses or whatever. So he's like, but he's great. He's very like charismatic and effective, I think, especially as a foil to
Mark Duplass,
the EP,
Duplass brother. Which Duplass brother? Mark, yeah. who he's Mark Duplass's boss, and Mark is in charge of the morning show, or Mark's character. We keep saying the actors themselves are not. So,
I mean,
things.
It's hard to like when but, they're that well known of actors. It's really hard to like be like, this is Alex and this is Mitch Kessler. It's like, no, it's Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon, and those are their names. Like, I'm sorry.
I think that's a normal thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked it.
Yeah, I like Billy Crudup a lot. He's given a lot of, again, some of those speeches that are like, I like that he has this perspective of like news is entertainment. I didn't love the fact that at one point he gives a speech to Mark Duplass about how news is becoming entertainment. And it does have that, that sort of Sorkin-esque thing that we're talking about, where it's just people sort of give these speeches for reasons that are not entirely compelling from character perspective. But and I think the quality of those speeches, they're not quite as snappy or as eloquent as an Aaron Sorkin speech, but I think they're like, it also, when it moves away from the speeches, it's better. It's like when it's just characters interacting with each other, when it's just a character drama or with some comedy, it's much stronger than when it's like people are trying to make statements about the state of television news or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings up like kind of like my overall feeling with a lot of these shows is they feel somewhere between, I guess The West Wing was a network show. That's right.
I mean, the West Wing was a network show and The Newsroom was an HBO show, and yet they feel in some ways similar. And I mean, I think West Wing is almost definitely better than The Newsroom. But
all these Apple TV shows to me feel somewhere between like the HBO type show and a network type show. Yeah. And they go a lot further than I thought. Like, there's a lot of like swearing and stuff where I was like, "Whoa! I guess they snuck this by Tim. He didn't hear this one, because he would have shut it down." Or like some violence and some of the things too. But like overall, they feel like slightly edgy, mass market content, which makes sense given.
Yeah, it like fits right in between like HBO and network television, where it's like a little bit better, higher quality, edgier than network television, but doesn't push all the way to that like HBO zone where, you know, it's a free for all.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see like full like frontal nudity or, you know, super gory violence, although I haven't watched C yet and I can't speak
C
to that
is
show
the most
how,
risque
how
so far that I've seen. C has most violence and it has some like I can't call it sex, but it's like sexuality, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. It's something for sure. It's prayer is what it is. It's solemn prayer.
Religious.
Okay.
You should watch it. You'll know what I'm talking about once you get there.
Just watch it.
It's on my to-do list for the weekend is to
text
kind of
me,
watch
yo.
The rest
I
want to
know what you think of C.
Including C. I agree with that sentiment that overall these shows are sort of not quite as bland as network broadcast TV, but definitely not, you know, HBO, I would say either quality or risqueness. I don't think there's some of them you can watch with your kids, even though they're, you know, Apple TV family shows. They're not necessarily what you would call family friendly at all. They're definitely adult shows in some cases. None of them really give you that feel of when you start watching a really good HBO show, like Succession, for example, or Big Little Lies or something, where you kind of get hooked right away, you know, from maybe one or two episodes. A lot of these seem to take a few more to warm up, and they may get better as we see the rest of the season. It's hard to say, but they're good. They're not great.
I vote that you should watch all of them except for Dickinson. I can't put my stamp on that one yet because I haven't seen it. And I really, to be honest, don't know when I will like get it up to watch that. I just don't see that happening. But maybe one dreary day this winter, I'll be super fucking bored. Is there lesbian stuff in that one?
There's some good actors in that one. I don't,
yeah, like, yeah. Tell me, because that'll push me over the edge a little bit. You know.
Do you want me to spoil it? Yes, there is. So get in there. I don't know. Yes. So, but I say, like, overall for all this stuff, I think the decision is not like watch it or not. It's like, do you pay for it or not, right? And so if you're not one of the many, many, many people who gets this thing free as a trial, just don't probably wait until you can get it through some kind of promotion. I don't know yet. I just haven't seen enough to say like it's worth the price of subscription or whatever, right? Once there's a little more built out to these libraries, probably sign up and like burn through some of these things. But like for now, I'd wait. But if you get the free trial, it's a no-brainer. Like it's a year free trial if you've bought any kind of Apple hardware recently.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's better than I was expecting. But you know, nothing's I think knocking it out of the park yet. But I've been very pleasantly surprised. I'm looking forward to watching more of it. And with that, let's wrap it up. Before we go, I will just remind everyone that they can subscribe or leave us a review in the Apple Podcast. They can do that on any other podcast app. And Daryl and Jordan, thank you for doing this with me for 100 episodes. And Sarah, who I will say has had some technical issues, so she's dropped off, so you're not going to hear anything from her. But Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Sarah. Bye. Thanks. Have a good weekend. Apple TV Plus.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.